Let's turn again to that portion of Scripture that we read a short while ago, Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. And I want us to think specifically of verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. As I was considering during the week what to preach here today, I had two messages in mind. One for the evening, and of course one for this morning. And as I thought about them and looked at them and mused on them, the thought of basics came very strongly to myself. This evening, God willing, I'll preach on back to gospel basics. I think that's what we need today. And this morning, we're going to look at some basics about the Bible. And we'll see that in the text that we've chosen to elaborate upon, verse 27. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, folks, this chapter is the great resurrection chapter in Luke's Gospel, perhaps in all of the Bible. How important the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is. I'm a Belfast boy, and my home church was the Martyrs Memorial. And you will know, perhaps, that there's a great text up above the pulpit. We preach Christ crucified. I remember one day sitting in the congregation. It was a packed congregation. But a brother in front of me, and I knew what the brother meant. And he's a brother beloved, and he's with the Lord today. But he said to some folk beside him, you know, that text should say, not only crucified, but risen and exalted. I know what he meant, but you have to ask the question, was Paul wrong when he spoke those words? For that's all he said. And that was the text that's up above the pulpit. We preach Christ crucified. Was Paul wrong because he didn't say risen and exalted? The obvious answer is no, but here is a vital truth. Please take this truth to heart. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ presupposes the virgin birth. It presupposes the crucifixion, and it presupposes Christ's ascension and exaltation in glory. Now, what I mean by that is that those events in Christ's life are all inextricably connected. They all stand or fall together. Now, if you could disprove the virgin birth, or more properly, the miraculous conception of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that makes a nonsense of his atoning death on the cross. And if you could disprove his death on the cross, then it makes a nonsense of the virgin birth and the resurrection. They all stand or fall together. And of course we know they stand. That's how important the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is. Now let me ask you a question. Who changed the Sabbath? It's a related question. Who changed the Sabbath? In Genesis, it was the seventh day that God rested. Throughout the Old Testament, it always was the seventh day. There were various Sabbaths, but there was a weekly Sabbath on the seventh day. Why then do we not meet on the seventh day? Who changed it? Who changed the Sabbath? People will tell you it was the Roman Catholic Church that changed it. The Seventh-day Adventists are fond of telling you that. But look, who changed? Look at the scriptures. Who changed the Sabbath? Now, I'm going to borrow a wee phrase that occurs twice in this chapter. And the phrase is, Jesus himself. Jesus himself. That's who changed the Sabbath. You see, when you read Luke chapter 24, the bulk of what you read in this chapter occurs on one day. And you'll find in verse 1, it mentions that one day, the first day of the week. That's not Saturday. That's Sunday. The first day of the week. And when we began our reading, verse 13, it mentions the same day. The same day. And when you go down that passage, when this man and his wife, for that's who they were, when they recognized Christ, they rose up the same hour. So it was the same day that they rose up to go back to Jerusalem. When they went back to Jerusalem, they found the 11 and those that were gathered with them, and they were rejoicing in the fact that Christ was risen, for he had appeared to some of them. And as they were gathered together, it says Jesus himself stood in their midst. They thought they had seen a spirit. But here's something to think about, folks. The Lord Jesus Christ was flesh and bone. He told them to fear not, touch me, for spirit hath not flesh and bone as ye see me have. So the Lord Jesus Christ, when he rose from the grave, he rose physically, he rose bodily. It wasn't a spiritual resurrection. He physically rose triumphant. And the Lord Jesus Christ, here's an astounding thing, folks. The Lord Jesus Christ will remain that man forever. He's the living, risen, Son of God and God the Son of Man, forever and ever and ever. That's astounding to think that he whom the heavens could not contain, and he who stretched out the heavens like a scroll, he who called all things into being by the word of his power, dwells in flesh. That's something to think about. That's astounding. And of course, when this man and his wife were walking along the road, they were discouraged. They were disheartened. Their world had collapsed all around them. And it says this, Jesus himself, the physical, bodily, resurrected Christ, he drew near. And he went with them. They were so immersed in their grief that they didn't recognize him. He was there nonetheless. And there's a word of encouragement for us. It's great to know and feel and experience the presence of the Lord. But there's times when we're down. There are times when we're discouraged. There are times even when we're distraught. Does the Lord forsake his people? No. He goes with us. He draws near and goes with us. The presence of the Lord doesn't depend on your feelings and my feelings. It's dependent on his promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That should encourage us. Folks, this is all by way of introduction. I want us to look now specifically at verse 27. And I want you to see how the Lord lifts the heart of his discouraged and even distraught people. And I want you also to see the great honor that the Lord Jesus Christ himself lays upon the written word of God. It says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures. Scriptures refer to the written word of God. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Briefly, three things here. I want you to notice there's a commencement with the scriptures. Here's a man and his wife, and things aren't well for them, to say the least. They've come through an extremely traumatic experience over the last few days. The greatest sin ever that was committed in this world was committed in Jerusalem just a few days previous. The doing of the Son of God to death. And he was the one upon whom this man and his wife, along with others, had pinned their hopes. Notice what they said. We trusted. We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And they were walking wearily homeward. Wonder, would you walk nearly 8 miles to church? Well, these folks did it. And they were walking wearily homeward. Long, sad journey, or so it seemed. And then the Lord Jesus, almost imperceptibly, draws near. They don't even recognize him. He's there physically. He's there bodily. But they don't even recognize him. And he asks them a question: what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk? And they're sad. Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Do you not know what has happened there? How that our rulers and the chief priests have crucified the one who he loved? O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now here it is. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures of things concerning himself. How did the Lord lift this couple out of their dismay, out of their discouragement? How did he do it? He brought the word of God to bear on their situation. It's a simple thought. But that's what he did. That's what he did. What was it that effected the change in the hearts and the lives of this man and this woman? Listen, later on, listen to what they say. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Are you discouraged? Are you disheartened? Maybe there's an individual, maybe there's a couple like this couple. Go to the Word of God. Go to the written Word of God. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ employed the written Word of God many times in his own life. And you may recall at the beginning of his public ministry, you have it in Matthew 4, you have it in Luke 4, he was tempted of the devil. There are two great endeavors, satanic endeavors, in the life of Christ. One was in the wilderness where Christ was tempted. The other was in the Garden of Gethsemane where Christ was tempted. Both endeavors were set to destroy Christ and to turn him from the cross, to turn him away from his redemptive work. Now, what did Christ do? We read in Matthew 4, we read in Luke 4, with every temptation, the Lord Jesus Christ rebutted the devil with the written Word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. He employed the written Word of God himself in his own life. And here he does the same with regard to this couple. He deals with their circumstance. He brings the scripture to bear on their situation. And their hearts began to lift. Indeed, they burned within them while he talked with them by the way, and while he opened to them the scriptures. You love your Bible. God's word. It's his word to you. It's his word to me. The Lord Jesus Christ right away commenced dealing with them by referring them to the scriptures. There's not only a commencement of the scriptures, but you'll notice the contents of the scriptures. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures. As I said earlier, scriptures refers to the written word of God. That's important. Keep that in mind. In verse 44 of the same chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking of the scriptures, includes the Psalms. Includes the Psalms as well. I worked in a place in Lisburn where the boss was very fond of getting me sayings and putting them up on a notice board in the canteen. And one of the sayings he put up was, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's." Of course, he wanted his pound of flesh, and he was using that text. So I said, "That's good, that's right." I got a pen, and I went up and I wrote the rest. Render unto God the things that are God's. But there's a wee saying he did put up at another time. I've never forgotten it. I haven't always did it. But it's this: the weakest link is better than the strongest memory. Write it down. And we've all had the experience of, well, I'll have to do that thing. And we haven't sort of written it down, and before you know it, we've forgotten all about it. Yeah. My problem is I write them down. I have a wee Bible that I use in McGilligan. It's a bit like myself, the worse for wear, but it's my briefcase. And I've obtained post-it notes in it. I do write it down. Then I think, where's that post-it note? I have it, and I have to search through. But you know the thought, the weakest ink is better than the strongest memory. Write it down. And how wise our God was when he instructed his prophets to write it down. And that's what scripture refers to, the written word of God. There's a great passage, we don't have the time to go to it now, but I'll give it to you. It's 2 Peter chapter 1. And Peter in that chapter talks about witnessing and seeing, actually seeing and hearing the glory of the Lord on the Mount of the Transfiguration. They saw Christ glorified. They heard the heavenly voice. And Peter goes on to say, but we have also a more sure word of prophecy. He's referring to the written word of God. It's more sure. God's revelation is transmitted to us, not orally, but it's transmitted to us in the scriptures, in the written word of God. Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. He also wrote at least one psalm. The prophets, they wrote their scriptures down. God instructed them. And isn't it amazing, folks, that over 40 different authors, 40 different authors, over a period of 1600 to 1700 years, wrote the scriptures. Different times, different generations, different men from different backgrounds. And it's amazing. It all dovetails. It's one book. It's one book. We used to play a game of Chinese whispers. I was a young fella once. So I was. And some nights, our youth fellowship had a games night. They always had a Bible reading on it, of course. But in that games night, they played this game, Chinese Whispers, and they had maybe 24 young people up the middle of the hall. And the man in charge would go to the first one and whisper something to them. And they were to pass it on. Each person whispered to the next person and to the next. And when they had all heard whatever they heard, the one who was in charge went to the last person in the line. What were you told? Well, it may have been similar, very often wrong, for there's some mischievous people in that line. That's Chinese whispers. God's word is not transmitted orally. It's here. It's here. It's the written word of God. More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord. His word. His word. We're running out of time, but let me speak lastly of the central theme of the Bible. We have looked at the commencing with the scriptures. We have looked at the contents of the scriptures, Moses and all the prophets, and David who wrote the Psalms, and others. But let's look lastly, finally, briefly, at the central theme of the Bible. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, notice these words, the things concerning himself. That's who the Bible's all about. Primarily, the great theme of the scriptures, by far, infinitely, by far, is concerning himself. Himself. I have a precious book. It's the Word of God. It's the only book that God has given. As I read, God speaks to me. I see Christ and Calvary, the wonderful Word of God. Think about the Mount of Transfiguration. I've mentioned it in passing. Peter, James, and John were with the Lord on that mount. And boy, what an experience. Peter says in his epistle, we were with him in the holy mount. And Peter said, let's build 3 tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And as he spoke those words, the Shekinah glory cloud obscured Moses and obscured Elijah. And they saw no man but Jesus only. You know, on that mount, David could have been there. Elisha could have been there. Job could have been there. Joseph could have been there. The whole gamut of the Old Testament prophets could have been there. And the same thing would have happened. The others are obscured. Christ comes to the fore. And that's the Bible. That's the Bible. We read of the great characters beginning in Genesis, right through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, right through. And we have lessons to learn from them. But folks, ever let us remember, Christ is there. More than anyone or anybody else, he's there, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. If you love the written word, and I trust you do, you'll begin to love the incarnate word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. And without him, there was nothing created that was created. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He's not nigh with us physically, but he's with us in the Word. Do you love your Bible? Do you love the written Word of God? Then you'll begin to love the incarnate Word of God, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts this morning. We're going to sing the hymn numbered 105. It's our communion hymn. And after the first verse, I'll vacate the pulpit, go to the door. If you have to go, please feel free to go. If you're saved and endeavouring to walk according to your calling in the gospel, then do please remain with us as we meet around the table. Think of what we read this morning. He was known of them in the breaking of bread. May that be our experience. Lord, write your word upon every heart this morning, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. We'll stand as we worship in the singing of